Good evening. Our collective heart aches when word comes of another massacre by a lunatic with an assault rifle. And this is exactly what happened on Sunday in Orlando, Florida. A gunman with an assault-type rifle and a handgun opened fire inside a crowded gay nightclub. He killed more than 50 people and injured 50 more. According to the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the shooter legally purchased the firearms within the last week.
And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for me. It's very difficult for me as I have to wear a city commissioner hat, but I'm also a member of this community. This is an establishment that I go to.
Orlando City Commissioner Patty Sheehan is the first openly gay elected official in Orlando.
But I just want to say that we, as a gay community, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, are a people who love. And if you think that you're going to stab at the heart of us by doing this horrible, violent act, you're not. Because we love, we are a resilient people, and we're going to show you in the face of this that we're going to have people lined out behind those blood banks. We're going to show what the good heart of humanity is, not the bad, horrible part of it is. And you cannot get your message across by killing people. You're nothing but thugs and murderers.
FBI Director James Comey said the massacre in Orlando is a federal terrorism investigation led by the FBI with assistance from state, local, and federal partners.
The reason for that is there are strong indications of radicalization by this killer and of potential inspiration by foreign terrorist organizations. We are spending a tremendous amount of time, as you would imagine, trying to understand every moment of this killer's path to that terrible night in Orlando, to understand his motives and to understand the details of his life.
While media shows the shooter's face and uses his name often, Comey says this is a mistake.
Part of what motivates sick people to do this kind of thing is some twisted notion of fame or glory, and I don't want to be part of that for the sake of the victims and their families, and so that other twisted minds don't think that this is a path to fame and recognition.
Comey says going through the killer's life so far, there is no indication that this is a plot outside the U.S. or that he was part of a network.
It is also not entirely clear at this point just what terrorist group he aspired to support, although he made clear his affinity at the time of the attack for ISIL and generally leading up to the attack for radical Islamist groups. He made 911 calls from the club during the attack at about 2:30 in the morning. Sunday morning. And there were three different calls. He called and he hung up. He called again and spoke briefly with the dispatcher, and then he hung up. And then the dispatcher called him back again and they spoke briefly. So there were three total calls. During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to. But he also appeared to claim solidarity with the perpetrators of the Boston Marathon bombing, and solidarity with a Florida man who died as a suicide bomber in Syria for al-Nusra Front, a group in conflict with the so-called Islamic State. The bombers at the Boston Marathon and the suicide bomber from Florida were not inspired by ISIL, which adds a little bit to the confusion about his motives. And of course, we're working to understand what role anti-gay bigotry may have played in motivating this attack. An attack that occurred during the very month when we recognize and celebrate our LGBT brothers and sisters.
Comey said the shooter was investigated twice by the FBI for possible connections to terrorism, but that didn't stop the murderer from buying weapons, and this is one of the big issues of our time. Mateen was first known to the FBI back in May of 2013. This is when he was working as a contract security guard at a local courthouse. James Comey.
And he made some statements that were inflammatory and contradictory that concerned his co-workers about terrorism. First, he claimed family connections to al-Qaeda. He also said that he was a member of Hezbollah, which is a Shia terrorist organization that is a bitter enemy of the so-called Islamic State, ISIL. He said he hoped that law enforcement would raid his apartment and assault his wife and child so that he could martyr himself. When this was reported to us, the FBI's Miami office opened a preliminary investigation. And over the next 10 months, we attempted to determine whether he was possibly a terrorist, something we do in hundreds and hundreds of cases all across the country. Our investigation involved introducing confidential sources to him, recording conversations with him, following him, reviewing transactional records from his communications, and searching all government holdings for any possible connections, any possible derogatory information. We then interviewed him twice. He admitted making the statements that his coworkers reported, but explained that he did it in anger because he thought his coworkers were discriminating against him and teasing him because he was Muslim. After 10 months of investigation, we closed the preliminary investigation.
Then, according to the FBI, the killer's name appeared once again in an indirect way 2 months later, in July of 2014.
Our Miami office was investigating the Florida man who had blown himself up for the Nusra Front in Syria. Again, the Nusra Front being an al-Qaeda group in conflict with ISIL. And we learned from the investigation that the killer knew him casually from attending the same mosque in that area of Florida. But our investigation turned up no ties of any consequence between the two of them. In the course of that investigation, one witness told us, when asked, do you know anybody else who might be radicalizing, that he had once been concerned about the killer because the killer had mentioned Alaki videos. But the witness had concluded that he later got married and had a child and got a job as a security guard, and so he was no longer concerned about him. Our investigation again turned and interviewed the killer to find out whether he had any significant contacts with the suicide bomber for al-Nusra, determined that he did not, and then the inquiry continued, focusing on the suicide bomber with no further focus on the Orlando killer.
The FBI director said they will look to see if there was anything they could have done differently, but said, I don't think so.
I don't see anything in reviewing our work that our agents should have done differently, but we'll look at it in an open and honest way and be transparent about it. Our work is very challenging. We are looking for needles in a nationwide haystack, but we're also called upon to figure out which pieces of hay might someday become needles. That is hard work. If we can find a way to do that better, we will.
Senator Dianne Feinstein on the Senate Intelligence Committee says we can do something differently. She says a bill called No Guns for Terrorists would have put the Orlando killer on the FBI watch list. This on the basis of those investigations we heard the FBI director tell us about. This would have prevented the Orlando killer from purchasing firearms.
I think one of the problems has been in this country, it is so easy for terrorists to buy guns. And I have been trying for a long time to pass a law which is called No Guns for Terrorists. And it simply says that if you're on a terrorist watch list, you can't buy a gun. And that's not true today, surprisingly enough.
Senator Feinstein spoke on Monday with MSNBC's Brian Williams. She says virtually no legislation to protect Americans has been passed.
I tried after the San Bernardino situation to propose once again this bill on the floor. The bill is simple. It simply sets up some criteria that could place you on a terrorist watch list. And I'd like to just quickly, if I may, read that to you because I think it's important because this fails. And it's important to know what the government needs to do to be able to protect you. And it simply says the Attorney General may deny the transfer of a firearm under certain sections if the Attorney General determines that a transferee is a known or appropriately suspected to be or have been engaged in conduct constituting in preparation for, in aid of, or related to terrorism, or providing material support for resources for terrorism. Or two, has a reasonable belief that the prospective transferee may use a firearm in connection with terrorism. Now, that finding could have been made by the FBI after the two conferences, after the two brief investigations that were conducted, based on things that the FBI was told about this perpetrator.
And what is frightening, according to Feinstein, is the ease with which a potential terrorist can purchase a weapon, as it is now 90% pass a background check. President Barack Obama on Monday said it's crazy that we make it challenging for law enforcement to get alerted that someone they are watching has purchased weapons. And if they do get alerted, it's sometimes impossible to stop them from getting a gun.
It's a problem. And we have to, I think, do some soul searching. But again, you know, the danger here is that then it ends up being the usual political debate, and the NRA and the gun control folks say that, Obama doesn't want to talk about terrorism. And if you talk about terrorism, then people say, why aren't you looking at issues of gun control? The point is that if we have self-radicalized individuals in this country, then they are going to be very difficult, oftentimes, to find ahead of time. And how easy it is for them to obtain weapons is, in some cases, going to make a difference as to whether they're able to carry out attacks like this or not. We make it very easy for individuals who are troubled or disturbed or want to engage in violent acts to get very powerful weapons very quickly. And that's a problem. It's a problem regardless of their motivations. It's a problem for a young man who can walk into a church in South Carolina and murder 9 people who offered to pray with him. It's a problem when an angry young man on a college campus decides to shoot people because he feels disrespected. It's certainly a problem when we have organizations like ISIL or Al-Qaeda who are actively trying to promote violence and are doing so very effectively over the internet, because we know that at some point they're going to be, out of 300 million people, there are going to be some individuals who find, for whatever reason, that kind of horrible propaganda enticing. And if that happens, then that person can get a weapon. That's a problem.
Barack Obama said, while we don't yet know the motivations for the killer in Orlando, we do know that those groups which grabbed his attention target LGBT people.
Organizations like ISIL, or organizations like Al-Qaeda, or those who have perverted Islam and created these radical, nihilistic, vicious organizations, one of the groups that they target are gays and lesbians, because they believe that they do not abide by their attitudes towards sexuality. Now, we also know these are organizations that think it's fine to take captive women and enslave them and rape them. So, there clearly are connections between the attitudes of an organization like this and their attitudes towards tolerance and pluralism and a belief that all people are treated equally, regardless of sexual orientation. That is something threatening to them. Women being empowered is threatening to them. So yes, I'm sure we will find that there are connections, regardless of the particular motivations of this killer, there are connections between this vicious, bankrupt ideology and general attitudes towards gays and lesbians, and unfortunately, that's something that the LGBT community is subject to, not just by ISIL, but by a lot of groups that purport to speak on behalf of God around the world.
While the bigoted, racist Republican presidential nominee wants to now stop all Muslims from entering this country, the American Muslim community was quick to denounce the attack on the Orlando gay nightclub. Nihad Awad, the executive director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, called the killings a hate crime. He said the group has no tolerance for extremism of any kind.
For many years, members of the LGBTQIA community have stood shoulder to shoulder with the Muslim community against any acts of hate crimes, Islamophobia, marginalization, and discrimination. Today, we stand with them, shoulder to shoulder. The liberation of the American Muslim community is profoundly linked to the liberation of other minority groups, blacks, Latinos, gay, Jewish, trans, and every other community that has faced discrimination and oppression in this country.
In response to the 911 call by the killer from the gay nightclub, which professed allegiance to the jihadist leader of IS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, Awad said this.
I have a word for ISIS and their supporters. How would you stand before God and answer to your crimes against innocent people, thousands of innocent people, Muslims, Christians, and other minorities? You do not speak for us. You do not represent us. You are an aberration. You are an outlaw.
Gay, lesbian, and transgender Americans have been sounding the alarm about hate crimes directed at them for years, but there has been mixed results in terms of legislation and public support. Last night, vigils took place throughout the country. A candlelight peace vigil was held by Code Pink in Washington, D.C. In Queens, Councilmember Danny Drum, Council Speaker Melissa Mark-Vivadito, and other elected officials, LGBT and Muslim community leaders, all gathered at Jackson Heights Diversity Plaza, this to denounce violence in all its forms and pay respect to the victims of the Orlando terror attack. At the historic Stonewall Inn last night, hundreds of mourners gathered to grieve the deaths of those killed. Signs said, "Claim love, freedom, stop the hate." More vigils are planned for this evening at the Stonewall Inn. Uptown this evening, residents will be gathering for a vigil at Bennett Park on West 184th Street. Tomorrow evening, a unity vigil is planned at Grand Army Plaza. So far, according to the Gun Violence Archive, this year there has been 76 days with mass shootings and 89 days without. The massacre in Orlando was the 133rd mass shooting in 2016 and the 15th mass shooting in Florida this year. That's why New York elected officials have joined the call for gun reform. After the Orlando massacre, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams released a statement which says there is no earthly reason other than a desire to perpetuate violence that common sense gun reform cannot and should not move forward at every level of government in the wake of this senseless tragedy. His statement goes on to say, "In the difficult days ahead, in the midst of our grief, I ask all Americans of goodwill to push for the legislative action we have long waited for that will secure a safer future for our children and families." Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.